Yeah. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We just want to say how honored and fortunate we feel to be here with you this morning. It was not planned. This is purely by accident, and we are truly thrilled. This is Peg Foué. I'm Linda Bouchard. I'm the Communication and Public Relations Director for Francozé. Peg is our Interim Executive Director for Francozé USA. You can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, so thrilled to be here. We were coming to visit Mary and Maureen, and Mary said, gosh, we're presenting to women about Francozé and microfinance. So synchronicity just seems to be in place. I have been spending just a ton of time trying to communicate what's happening in Haiti to our supporters, to our board members. Communication has been horribly cut off. And excuse me, I'm going to do mostly sitting and listening because I've been so focused on that Linda is going to be our presenter today. But I will be around if you have questions afterward. And Linda, feel free to call on me if you want to involve me.
Okay. So I am not sure if everyone is aware of what Francozé is. Francozé is an acronym. It means Fondation Collé Zépaule in Creole. In English, it is a shoulder-to-shoulder foundation. Francozé was founded over 20 years ago by Father Philip Joseph, who is a spirit and priest, whose mother was a Timashan, a small entrepreneur, like Dr. Eunice was saying. He watched her go down a mountain to an open marketplace on a daily basis to go sell the little goods that she had to sell. And without ever being able to put that money somewhere that is truly safe, that she can go back to it and use it. Francozé is a bank for the poor in Haiti. It is the biggest microfinance, microcredit bank in Haiti for poor people. We have over 64,000 women primarily who borrows from Francozé. And we have over 200,000 depositors. Okay, now you cannot, Maureen and Mary will tell you, it is far from being a traditional bank. It's a bank, like Dr. Eunice said, it's a bank for the poor. You don't need to be embarrassed to come in and put a fingerprint as your signature. You don't need to feel inadequate to ask everything in your native language, which is Creole. You are welcomed and you are made to feel comfortable when you are there. When Father Joseph and with the accompaniment of Anne Hastings, who is a dynamic woman as well from Washington, D.C., who was looking for something to do at 47 years old to help and give back, well, she was asked to go to Haiti and see what she can do for this little priest. So together, they put together Francozé. And today Francozé, like I just said, is the biggest microfinance in Haiti. Our mission mirrors very, very much what Dr. Eunice said. Okay. We started in 1994, and our primary mission was to have a bank for the poor. But Father Joseph always said, I don't want you to lend the women money and then just let them go. No, I want to lend them money, but I want to teach them. I want to accompany them. And that's what I want us to do. So along with Francozé, the bank, we have Francozé, the foundation. And we have multiple programs to accompany the poor out of poverty. Maureen and Mary, we are so fortunate. We are so fortunate to have them on our side. These ladies are just dynamic. Maureen came to Haiti and said, yeah, I'll be back. I'm coming. Okay? And not only did she come, but she found a bank, an area that is so obscure, so far away from the capital city of Port-au-Prince, where people truly were being forgotten, and the poor even more so. And that's where she decided to start a bank with Francoise. And that bank, like she says, is self-sustained today with over 1,000 clients and members. But she was still not satisfied, so she keeps sending money every year for education. And you know, education is so important. I want you guys to know that we used to be at around a 72% illiteracy rate. Now it's only 41%. So we're doing something right with your help. Mary Becker, I don't know if everyone is aware of that, but she was the chairperson of Francoise USA. Okay, she was there with us for a very, very long time, and her guidance was so important. And we miss her terribly, but she's still very involved, still with us, and we're so happy about that. With Gary, her husband as well. Mary and Gary Becker were, they are amazing, amazing people. And all of you in Santa Barbara who is involved, we just want to say such a big thank you. 96% of Francoise's employees, we have over 1,000 employees. I'm going to give you a little bit of statistics very quickly. Francoise is a Haitian organization. Francoise is a Haitian organization. We have over 1,000 employees, 95% of which are Haitian people. We are able to hire in all parts of the country to run our 45 branches. Okay? We have... I took little cheat notes. I'm trying to look at them now. And like the, Dr. Eunice says, when the women come in for a loan, we do not ask for collateral. They have none. This is all based on trust. And you would be surprised how dignified poor people can be. They pay back their loans, sometimes because that's the last avenue that they have, or because they are just very, very dignified people. They will not pay back their loan. They will step out for sometimes if they can't pay, but they'll come back. And we, of course, allow that because we know the difficulty of the country. So again, no documents, no collateral, but a lot of returns. And we're so proud of that, 96% return. Okay? And we're not unique in that. It's all across the world. Women pay back. Microfinance. These women faced a lot of loan sharks as well, just like Dr. Eunice said. And the loan sharks in Haiti and everywhere else, I would guess, they never finish paying the loan. It's always the interest. They spend their lives worrying all the time how they're going to pick the next interest payment and not the original loan. Okay, that can discourage someone so much. And one of the things that we thrive for is to never discourage our women. We just want them to empower them and to keep going forward. We have several programs in order to do that. We have an education program that is run by an educational specialist. She writes books for them. Right now, with the help of Maureen, we're able to give 30 of our center chiefs in Jean Abel the education that is necessary in order to bring back to the other 1,000 women on how to be ready for disasters like we just had. So your contribution helped us to do a program we call Tikoze. It means little words in your ears. Come and listen. And it's a book, and it's given to all the women, and it shows them how to prepare themselves for disasters such as what we've just faced recently. It's a tough time for Peg and I right now because we really don't we don't have communication with part of Haiti. It's just down. And we have a lot of people there. We have branches there. So one of the first things that I will do when I return tomorrow is try to find a way to go there and see what's going on. When the head of the Grameen Foundation came to Haiti, do you know what he said? He had not seen poverty like that in Bangladesh since the 1970s. In Haiti, he has not seen that type of poverty since the 70s. In fact, the gentleman almost, well, he did, he passed out. Because some of the places that we go are so far to find our clients. It's something that would have to be witnessed to understand. I think these ladies can tell you a little bit about that. So we really depend on our partners, and we really depend on our donors in order to continue the process of education for these women. I am a Haitian, and I don't know how to thank you for everything that you do. It's always really hard for me when I'm speaking to understand how people can find it in their hearts to help a country that's so far away from them. When I know you have a lot of problems right here as well. So I really, really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and Peg as well, for everything that you're doing for Haiti. And we'll take questions. Thank you.
These four ladies are available to answer any questions. They're right here, so come on up and talk to them through the microphone. The questions will be recorded, and all of this is going to be on our website, The Time It Takes Care of Us, the wordinlife.us. So come on up if you have questions.
Meanwhile, I'm going to wake up my computer to look at my notes about what we know right now in Haiti and what we're hoping to find out very soon.
One more thing I wanted to say. After the earthquake, 95%, and this is verifiable, 95% of every donation we received went in the hands of the people who needed it most. And I think that's really amazing.
Thank you. Just a question, if you could kind of go through the process about when a woman comes in, usually a woman, I guess. So do they have their dream in their mind? Do you help them develop it, or do they say, I need $40 to start selling eggs? I'm not sure how that process is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, we have a staircase out of poverty. We have a staircase out of poverty. The bottom rung, the poorest of the poor, are on that rung. And we developed a program for that, that we went to Bangladesh to refine and to adapt to Haiti. It's called CLM, Chemin La Vie Meilleure, Path to a Better Life, in English. This program is not a loan program. It's a program where we just go out to the poorest areas and identify the people in the villages that even the poor have forgotten. Okay, that it's difficult to understand, but we find these women under a tree, living with six children. We find them in underneath leaves and coconut. What do you call them? The coconut leaves that they try to make a home. The thatch roofs, yes. And these women, once we identify them, we start to work with them. And there are different criteria before they graduate with us in 18 months. Because we accompany them for 18 months. We start first by giving them a latrine. That's something that's extremely important. Secondly, we work with them to build a small home with a tin roof. Thirdly, we start them on their journey into entrepreneurship. And we teach them. They get literacy classes. Every week, one of our agents will go out to them on a motorcycle because they live so far away. Sometimes we have to park the motorcycle and walk for another hour to reach them and give them the proper training that they need in order to leave extreme poverty behind. They receive goats and one pig, a couple of chickens, and how to become an entrepreneur. They get literacy classes, children's rights classes, agricultural, hygiene, all the things that truly they knew nothing of at all. In fact, most of them have never even seen paper money. After 18 months, it is an amazing transformation. They suddenly can look at you in the eyes. They don't run up to you to kiss you when you come, like children. You know, whenever you come to visit them, they run up, they kiss you. You know, they're very humble. And to meet their criteria, they would have had to multiply the assets that we gave to them for those 18 months. Our graduation rate is over 93%. So we're really, really proud of that. And it is a program that came from Bangladesh that we sent our staff members to go learn and then adapt to Haiti. That's our first step. When these women finish their 18 months, it's up to them if they want to join Francoise. Because the worst thing that can happen to a woman is to become discouraged, not be able to pay a loan, and fall back. If they feel strong enough that they can borrow, then we continue to accompany them. Their first loan is $30, and it just continues to go up. Recently, I was fortunate enough to... We're doing a new video for Francoise, and I was fortunate enough to go into the countryside, identify one of the women who is truly a big success story, but we have many like that. She started the way I just explained. She was under a tree with seven kids. Today, she hires five people to work with her. She has become a true entrepreneur. She purchased a little land. She has sugar cane on it. I don't know what to say that. You press the sugar cane to make the syrup with the cow, yeah? I don't know how you do it here, but we have cows. And they go around, and while they're going around, the machine is being pressed, and we get the syrup. They get the syrup, and they sell it all throughout the country. So she's really doing well. The video will be out, and I will share it with Maureen and Mary so that all of you can have a glimpse. I think Peg wants to tell you a little bit more about what's going on with the hurricane in Haiti right now.
So I just got an email about 5 minutes ago that the death toll is now at 108 people, which is so sad. There's still, because communication is down, Digicel is the biggest, by far, cell phone company in Haiti. 10% of their territory is down because of the hurricane. It's one of the reasons communications are so difficult. Our biggest concern, there are people who will have lost their lives to the rushing waters and mudslides. Our biggest concern is cholera. Once things start to settle down, particularly since cholera is already in the country, and so much water, so much sewage, really dangerous. A great way for me to introduce another new program. And again, Linda's program, CLM, we just talked about, that is not microfinance. That's preparing women for microfinance.
Keep going to the other ones after Peg gives you a little bit about the hurricane.
Oh, yeah. And this is hurricane related, but it's another program. We have a program called Boutique Santé, which is little community health stores. And what we're doing right now is we are rolling out countrywide for our strongest entrepreneurs, people who have been very successful and have been elected leaders of their communities. We are training them in some very basic healthcare measures, how to identify, how to diagnose, and how to treat. They are not nurses, but they have registered nurses teaching them how to identify these very common ailments that can be treated often very simply and be life-saving in the long term. With this network of boutique santé owners who are leaders in their community, the current boutique santé members, which is 368 or something, and we called those 368 women and said, a hurricane is coming. Please call the members in your community to let them know cholera is going to be a problem. You need to avoid it. This is how you avoid it. And Tikoze is instrumental in that.
In fact, we just heard from from Laurence. I don't think I told you that yet. I was in communication with her this morning, and she said that thanks to Tikoze, we have 30% less mortality because of this book that we're able to prepare them. So, thank you, Mari.
Okay, so anyhow, these preventive measures are huge. We also had people out in the field the day before the hurricane hit and just checking for their preparations, their safety things. We hoisted our computers, tied things down, and the women were doing the same. So Haiti is better prepared than they have been in the past. Nevertheless, it's a big hurricane. The hardest hit areas are for sure in the southern peninsula. The communications are not only down, but there's one road that leads from the north to the south. It includes a bridge. That bridge has been washed out. So we can't call, we can't drive, we can't get there. The most important thing for the recovery of the country is for us to be up and running so that these 200,000 women who have their money saved in our institution can come and get it and can buy the groceries, rebuild their homes, replenish their businesses. So yesterday, my information on this was yesterday, we had 27 of the 45 branches open. The hope, I believe, was to have all but two open before the end of the day. Side note, after the earthquake, Foncosé's bank services were open before the commercial banks. We were the first to open countrywide. Getting money to the South, as well as information in us, is critically important. We have been introduced and in touch with the United Nations, and we are looking for ways to partner with them to get money to the South of Haiti. Port-au-Prince was not that much affected. Next day, business as usual. Likewise for the Central Plateau, just at the top of the mountains where the wind was really strong. Generally, the mountains protect people from a storm coming from the south. We do have staff members who have lost homes, crop flooding, and livestock lost. So we are trying everything we can do to raise money for this recovery effort. Anything you can do to support us would be gratefully appreciated.
Okay. I'm just going to go back a little bit on the staircase out of poverty because someone asked me a question how that's done. Okay, so like Peg says, the CLM program is not a microfinance venture. It's a program to help the extreme poor, we used to say ultra poor, out of extreme poverty. The actual microfinance starts in the second step, which is our core program. It's called the solidarity lending. Solidarity lending means you're one woman, you find four other women in your area who would like to borrow money together. And they come to our bank, they sit down, they talk to our manager, they talk to the folks that can lend the money, and they talk about their plans and what they're going to do. If we, not just that if we fail, because most of the time we do give them that first small loan to see what would go on. We do follow them. We do not just give them that loan, just like Father Joseph had said. So our core program with 60,000 women borrowers, they are constantly being uplifted to learn how to read and write, to be able to get out of that. They can sign their children's reports. You know, one of the things that we say is that within 5 years, you will have a thin roof. You will have money in the bank. You will be able to send your children to school, and you will be able to have at least one hot meal a day. And that's an amazing feat. Now I'm going to let you guys... And then our next step is business development. Those are for the women who feel that, okay, we've been in the program long enough. We can go ahead and borrow money on our own now. And they go and they borrow much more. We are able to loan them anywhere between 50,000 good, which is about $3,000 US, to much more, depending on how we feel they are able to repay and how we feel they are able to handle that money. Because remember what I said from the beginning, we don't want them to become desperate in returning the money and then fall back. That is the one thing we don't want to happen. So we need to accompany them. And like Peg says, you know, it's with people like you who help us all the time to be able to do our job to the fullest. Thank you.
Hi, I'm recalling the... Maybe you don't even want to comment about this because it's appalling, I think, that for the earthquake in Haiti, I think the Red Cross, American Red Cross, involved millions or even tens of millions of dollars pledged, but very little actually got to the service of the Haitian people. Maybe other high-profile organizations have the same track record. Do you care to comment at all about the contrast?
Okay, well, one of the things I have to say after the Red Cross was getting all the heat, they ran to us, please, because they also had donated to us for certain things, and they said, please go and tell everybody that we give you money and what you did with it, because they know that people really trust Franco Zé, and we say whatever we say we're going to do, we'll do it. And 95%, like I said before, went immediately to the people who needed it the most. Less than 30% of the pledges to Haiti was ever really came to Haiti. We're still waiting. We don't have them. Okay. So I hope that answered the question. Yes, we did get over 6 million from the Red Cross after the earthquake. And that's when they ran to us and said, we're getting all this heat, please. And we did, you know.
95% was verifiable.
Right.
We have documentation.
Yes.
Were there success stories? One of them.
Oh, sorry. We are one of the success stories of the money that did get to Haiti. We did get the 6 million. 95% of it is verifiable. It went to our clients. The other 5% was getting it to them, which is covering our staff costs.
I think I remember something about after the women are ensconced in the Franco Zé, then they want to send their children to school. And I understand that for $60 a year, a child can go to school and have hot meals and books and uniforms. Maybe you can talk to us
sure.
about that.
Boy, uniforms in Haiti, it's a monopoly. Every storefront school in Haiti has a different uniform. Sometimes the uniform costs more than the actual school year. It's really something incredible. And they get to change the uniform as the grades go up. So something's going on. But yeah, it costs anywhere between $60 and $100, depending on which part of the country that you are in, for a child to attend school and pay for the books, pay for the uniform, and pay for the school year. That's about how much it costs. And to have a hot meal, at least at one time. And sometimes it's the only hot meal they get for the day while they're at school.
Would you please share some more stories about how the clients you've worked with microfinance, have helped lift them out of poverty?
Okay. When they become small entrepreneur, one of the things that they do is to get a business venture. It could be selling food commodities. It could be selling livestock. It could be selling vegetables from their own garden. And a lot of our women have more than one business because Haiti is such a fragile state. You try to have several different types of businesses. Most of them sell food items because everyone needs to eat. We do encourage them that the things that they're growing should go to their family as well. You know, we don't want them to start selling everything and they're not eating. A lot of the women as well do sell peppers. Okay, what are peppers? Peppers, we used to call them Kennedys because that's when this phenomenon started. It's clothing, secondhand clothing, which comes mostly from the United States. And they buy them in bulk and they sell them in the streets. A little bit like my consignment shop finds. My shoes. They have livestock that they... So when something like this happens and their livestock are killed, what's going to happen? They most likely sometimes go back to where they started from. And if somebody in their family passes, Haitians are very keen on giving the very best funeral that they possibly can to their family members. They could be totally broke. And that's, you know, they want to send you off with that very special meaning. All their money will go in that. So a lot of them are very careful. And we find a lot of times that when they have a very supportive partner, they do so much better with their business. Okay, so a lot of them have many different businesses and seasonal businesses as well. When school's going to start, everybody goes into the selling of books and pencils and pens, etc. Christmas, Mother's Day, different types of products. You know, you have to do that in a country like that to survive.
The gentleman who just asked, that was you, right? I wonder if you were looking for individual stories like the woman with the sugarcane business. We might give Linda a minute to think, but I'll tell you she spends a ton of time in the field meeting women, so she could talk all day and all night on this. Do you have one off the top of your head?
If you go to our website, francoze.org, you'll find a lot of the stories that I send to the USA to be shared. These women have quotes that are amazing. Just recently, I just sent one, and she said that Francoze is my father, Francoze is my partner. If Francoze didn't come into my life when it did, I surely wouldn't be here today. Okay, these are just some of the quotes. We have, the women are so grateful. They are ready when we go on our inside trips, they are ready to stand up and talk about it. I studied with Francoze 7 years ago. Before that, I was just living from day to day. I didn't know where my next meal would come from. My kids never even thought about going to school. That wasn't even an option. It was trying, they boil leaves from trees as a mean of food. And they will put salt in the morning and sugar. Sugar in the morning and salt in the afternoon in these teas to feed their kids. That's the hot meal that they get. So
most of our stories are like that. And if you send me my, Maureen knows my email, so does Mary, I can send you some really moving stories from our ladies. There are so many of them from so many parts of Haiti. I will be very happy to share them with you.
Another on that note, I'm sorry, but this will take 1 second. When you, if you go to our website, phonecose.org, we have our current and past annual reports. And there is a story for each program. So it's both a beautiful way to learn more in depth about how our programs work and how they have impacted this woman's life. And then, so here's the CLM woman. Here's the woman with the first $30 loan. Here's the woman with a big business loan. So loads of stories going back years. Yes, and thank you for your patience.
Just a couple of things. My understanding is that because of the stability and so forth that Phonecose provided, that Jean Rebel, which is, I think is what, a community of 10,000 or something like that, was able to absorb 30,000 refugees from Port-au-Prince after the earthquake.
That's correct. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay. Yes, a lot of family members were returning to their original homes because, you know, Port-au-Prince was built for about 400.
Some pictures of what you're talking about.
Oh, great.
So, in a video that we
nice.
Produced.
Should we sit down and get
yeah.
back
yeah.
up again?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, this is a video we took when we were in Haiti. It answers some of the questions that we have. And you'll see some of these.
Sorry. This is a video we took in Haiti, and we put together the pieces. What did you want, Christine? Oh, sorry. This is anyway. We'll let you see what I think it'll answer some of your questions.
With her commitment to Phonecose, Anne built a dedicated staff of nearly 800 Haitian employees who serve 40 bank branches all over the country. Father Joseph saw that women are the backbone of Haiti's economy, but they needed access to loans with a fair interest rate to start businesses. He decided that women in groups of four or five could serve as each other's collateral for loans. These solidarity groups proved to be the key. Phonecose's solidarity group approach to microlending allows women to start a business for as little as $25.
J'étais debout dans la cour, hey ho, allez bas dans la cour.
For example, a woman takes $25 to buy seeds and tools to plant. She harvests the beans. Then she has black beans ready to take to market.
Hey,
We accompany her by providing training in literacy and skill building. At first, the women simply learn to write their names. After that, they are on the road to literacy and can move to other training. Franck José hires Haitians who become bank managers, tellers, credit agents, literacy supervisors, trainers, social performance monitors, and mentors. They go to the rural areas where members live. They actually do walk shoulder to shoulder with the members of Franck José. Franck José borrower Junie says, I took out my Franck José loan 2 years ago, and I am still with my same solidarity group. There are four of us, and we are good friends. We take care of each other. When one woman of our group couldn't pay back her loan in time, I gave her some of my savings to help her. She paid me back within 2 weeks. I knew she would. We're just people from Santa Barbara who heard about Franck José and traveled to Haiti to see it for ourselves. There, we caught the vision. We shared what we had seen with friends and strangers and invited them to join us to raise money to build a Franck José branch bank.
Thank all these wonderful women that came to tell us about how microfinance works in their lives, in our lives too. Thanks so much. And I wanted to remind you about next week, we have another wonderful presentation. This is by the Reverend David Moore and the Reverend Wallace Shepherd. They minister to the African American faith communities in Santa Barbara, and they're going to be talking about Chapter 10, Healing the Legacy of Slavery. So we'll see you next Thursday. Thanks so much.